Isn't that a wonderful hymn? It's really a prayer, preparation for the feast before us, feast from his word, and then this very special feast, the Lord's Supper, that we sit down, as it were, and have a meal with Christ and with one another as we remember his suffering and his death for us. Well, we complete John chapter 15 that we started this morning, so turn to your copies of the scriptures to chapter 15, and this time we'll read verses 12 to 15 of John chapter 15, starting at verse 12 and through to verse 15 only. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The Lord bless the reading of his word. This morning we had two observations, and we only have four in total. And there's no long introduction this afternoon, so our afternoon study or meditation will be brief as planned. This morning we had these two observations, a single command of Christ to the church. That simple command, and it seems though all the scriptures are the commands of Christ, this was one which Christ singled out for its importance, for its witness, and for ourselves to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And these things I command you, again in verse 17, so that you will love one another. Then secondly, we observed the single motivation of Christ's command. And this, basically, we said, was his predestination in eternity. The fact that Christ chose us in him. We did not choose him. This was predestined before time even began. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask in my name, he may give it to you. We saw the importance of the truth, the doctrine of predestination, and the fact that predestination is always to sanctification and to that work of the Holy Spirit within us, and thus the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to his church over and over again in the New Testament scriptures. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Well, this afternoon we just have a further two observations from our text, abiding in Christ's love, part B, if you like. We observe in the first place the single qualification of Christ's command. He doesn't just say love one another, but he qualifies that, the single qualification of Christ's command. Look at verse 12 again. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another in the same manner that I have loved you. And at this point, the disciples did not even realize how great that manner would be. And even after he went to the cross, and they realized that, it would be some time before they realized the implications of the work of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering and his death. We noted this morning, that our Lord Jesus' command does not reduce his demand upon us in his command. In our natural state after the fall, history made it very clear, way from Adam's time, man was unable to love God in the right way, in the way that he ought. And we are unable to, and even unwilling, because of sin, to love others in the way that we love ourselves. And even as those redeemed by Christ's blood, through our remaining sin, Paul speaks about we find this law still at work in ourselves, this law of sin and death. And what's the result? We forget to love. And we forget to love as Christ loved us. We never forget to love ourselves, but we forget to love our brothers and sisters. When we, like every saint before us, the greatest to the least of all the saints, when from time to time we step into darkness and we fail to abide in Christ and we fail to love one another as we ought, as Christ loved us, as consistently as Christ loved us. Christ does not lower the standard. He does not lower the bar of love necessary between the children of God. Quite the opposite. In fact, he raises the bar. We said it was a new commandment, superseding that commandment to do no harm to your neighbor as commanded in the law of Moses. So what is this new standard? What is this new bar of love that we are to attain to, that we are commanded to? Well, I thought of when we moved to America in 2002, I was in engineering sales. And so everything was about measure and standards and weights. And even when I came into the fish business, it was about the weights of the fish. And here's the problem. One of the biggest challenges for me from work perspective was the imperial system in America. In the metric system, which I was taught, the measure of distance is the meter. The meter is the standard of all measure of distance. 1 meter is 1,000 millimeters, and 1 meter is 100 centimeters. It's so simple. So it's 0.1, 0.2. The decimals are easier. Everything is easier. But by whose standard, by who has the original millimeter and centimeter and meter? Well, believe it or not, there is a perfect standard for measure in the metric system. There is one perfect standard, and it's a meter rod. It's a special alloy meter rod kept under lock and key in Paris, under controlled temperature, so that there will be no fluctuation or change. And that's the standard. The meter rod is the standard of measure. And so in the same, but in a far more perfect and immutable way, God in Christ is the perfect, unchangeable, uninfluenced, incorruptible standard of love. And this is the level to which Christ holds his people. This is my commandment, that you love one another, not as you wish, not as you interpret that love, but as I have loved you. The bar has indeed been raised. As we learned recently at the conference on covenants Pastor Sam presented here in the church, he made the point that God's condescension in instituting a covenant with man was not condescension of God. God did not become anything less than he is. God did not give up anything in his person as God, but rather it was the raising up of man through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ does not condescend his love to us, nor does he lower the bar of love that we ought to express to our fellow believers in Christ, but he raises the level. He raises the bar to his level, and he commands it, and then he gives us the grace and the mercy to be able to love just as he loved. In other words, it is the gospel. It is the gospel. God commands men to do what they cannot do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But God commands it, and man cannot do it. And then he gives it to us as a gift. He commands faith in Christ, and then he gives it to us as a gift. Now he tells his disciples to love one another according to the highest standard. His meter rod of love, and he gives it to his church as a gift. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And here is the great standard. Here is the perfect measure of his love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Do you remember Jesus' words to Simon Peter? Simon Peter, do you love me more than... Lord, of course I love you. Simon Peter, do you love me? Simon Peter, do you love me? Three times, why? Because he must love God's children as Christ loved the church. That is the standard of love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember John 13 and verse 1 was before the feast of the Passover. Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. And he says, having loved his own who were in the world. Oh, so Jesus was just a visitor in the world and he loved them and then off he went. No. Having loved his own, those predestined from eternity, having loved them, having poured out his life for them, having died for them, he loved them to the end. And what's the end? It's eternity. It's the eternal love of God in Christ Jesus. And if we are to love one another as Christ loved us, it means that love cannot coexist with selfishness and malice. Love can do no evil, but must do all practical good. And someone has suggested that if evil is done or good is not done, it is just that love is not there in sufficient force. You must love one another as I have loved you. Romans 13 verse 10 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. And as a Christian, I am to cherish and exercise this standard of love towards everyone who gives evidence that he is a brother in Christ. Yes, there's the general principle that we are to love all men. But Jesus Christ comes and he says, I have a new commandment. And it's for you, for my disciples. You must love one another deeply from the heart, as the New Testament expresses in many and various places. My love should be regulated by the same principle as Christ, whose love knows no limit to any of his people, whose love is never selfish, whose love is never boastful or proud or rude, whose love keeps no record of wrong, but rather, as 1 Corinthians teaches us, love is patient and kind. Love does not boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is how Christ loved the church. This is the qualification of Christ's love. Brothers and sisters, here is the command to love one another. Here's the meter rule, the perfect standard of that command to love one another as Christ has loved us. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And then God demonstrated his love to us. For God so loved the world that he gave. He poured out. He gave his only Son. Christ loved his disciples to the end. And then he demonstrated at the end his love and the qualification of his love to them. when he says, greater love has no man than this, and a man should lay down his life for his friends. That is exactly what Christ did. That is exactly why we come to this table, to observe and to remember and to picture the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no greater measure. There's no greater love than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends, which is our second observation this afternoon. The single extent of Christ's command. The single extent of Christ's command. How far does this go? We must love one another in the same manner that Christ loved us, just as he has loved us. And now, what is the single extent of Christ's command? Look at verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. We have three short things to observe here under this second heading. Number one, there is no limit to the love of Christ for his church. There is no limit of the love of Christ for his church. Greater love has no man than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater sacrifice. There's no higher price that you could pay than to lay your life down for your friends. Brave men and women who fought in the world wars and perished for the freedoms that we enjoy. The sacrifice was ultimate, and it was for their country. It was for this great cause that millions may live to enjoy the freedoms of this great land for many years. And we celebrated it this week. We salute them. We remember them on Veterans Day, a noble cause, a worthy cause. But brothers and sisters, Christ laid down his life for a lost cause while we were yet sinners, before we were his friend. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Brothers and sisters, here we have the highest evidence of Christ's love for his people. He laid down his life for his church. Romans 5, 8 and 9, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from him, by him from the wrath of God. The application and the inference are clear and simple. Since there was no limit to the Father and the Son's love for us, so we need to note secondly, there is to be no limit to our love for one another. There is to be no limit in our love for one another. John speaks in his first epistle of this in chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. Verse 16 says, by this we know love, otherwise we would not know it, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Verse 18, little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in deed and in truth. And it's very unlikely that we'll ever be called to literally lay down our lives for our friends, as Christ had to do. But do we lay down our lives for our friends in our love and in our action in the way that Christ loved us? It's 13 and 14 of our text. Greater love has no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Love one another. Love one another. Believers, this is the extent of Christ's love for us, But we are commanded by Christ to have no limit to the love that we have for one another. This is his command to the disciples and to the church and to every believer, that we are to love one another in the same way as he loved us, even to the point of laying down your life for your friends. Thirdly, we need to note, yet his commands are filled with grace. This is the Lord Jesus Christ's command to us, and yet his commands are filled with grace. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. And according to Christ, true love for him leads to obeying his commandments. That's why 1 John has the test that says, if a man says he loves God, then he's a liar. If he does not love his brother whom he can see, how can he possibly love God whom he has not seen? Jesus himself obeyed and loved the Ten Commandments, and we ought to love him. And he says we only love him if we keep his commandments. Christ has treated us with unreserved intimacy, brought us into close fellowship with him. He has not dealt with us as strangers or casual acquaintances, but with infinite condescension, given us the unspeakable privilege of being his friends. That is what it means to abide in Christ, that we have become intimate with Christ, that he has brought us into fellowship with himself and the Father through the Spirit who dwells within us. He is my friend. And when you come around this table, it is an awesome thought to think that the Holy One, God Almighty, and his Son says of us, you are my friends. Take, eat with me, drink with me. Remember, this is the new covenant in my blood. The high and lofty one calling us his friends does not exalt him. He condescends by calling us his friends, and he exalts us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is in his own essential nature God. And he says, you are my friends. You are my friends. Now prove it. Love one another. And here's a lesson for us here. Proverbs 28 and verse 24 says, a man of many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I quote, let us therefore abstain from encroaching upon a brother's spiritual liberty, or usurp dominion over a brother's faith. Let us treat our brother not as a servant, still less as a stranger, but as a friend. I call you friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. The disciples were Jesus' servants. They were his disciples. They had no right to know what the master's intentions were, but he is sharing their plans with them. They had become his friends. He had chosen and called them to be his friends. Verse 14, I no longer call you servants. The servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from the Father I have made known to you. We have an in. We have an in. That is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate display of love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't make him rich. We didn't exalt him by him taking us as his friends. He was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. This more than anything should spur us on to loving obedience. For not only did he lay down his life for us, his church, his friends, but he bore our sins on that tree. He went so much further. For our sake, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God in him. He's called us friends. And this is all he asks. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In addition, he is introduced to his disciples, not to be disrespectful, to his best friend, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He was sending his Spirit to them. And it was within this fellowship that the Word would do its cleansing and its sanctifying work in them. It's almost as if Jesus says here, I know that on your own you cannot produce the rich fruit of love, nor can you yield your lives to the Heavenly Father so that your prayers correspond with his will. But united to me, indwelt by my Spirit, no longer being orphans, but now friends, all this would be possible. So now, my friends, I'm telling you to love one another. And that's how he ends this passage, verse 70. These things I command you so that you love one another. He has called us friends, not restricted to the 11 who have the inside scoop. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords not only pities and saves all of them that believe on his name, but he calls them his friends. No wonder the Apostle Paul says of the love of Jesus, it surpasses knowledge. It's not even understandable. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And Christ prays in the high priestly prayer that they may be one as we are one. We are invited in to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we come to the supper, we're reminded of the kind of love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he laid down his life for his friends, that he took our sin upon himself. And he says to us, this is my commandment, love one another in that way, with that qualification, as I have loved you, to this extent that you would be prepared to lay down your lives for one another. What encouragement this should give to us, to pour out our lives in love to one another, because this is what Christ has done for us, and to be constrained by his love and overtaken by this command. May this be our all-consuming thing. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all we know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that even though you command us something which we know in and of ourselves we cannot achieve, how we thank you for the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who works in us that which is pleasing to you, who works the love of Christ in us, who has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, enable us to have the selfless love of the Lord Jesus Christ, considering not himself, but considering us. When he laid down his life for his friends, when he took our sin upon himself on that tree, and as we sit at this feast, partake of this bread which represents the giving of your body, laying it down for us, and as we drink this cup and are reminded that you paid the ultimate price, your blood for our sins, your blood for our iniquities, your blood as a redemption for our sin. Oh Lord, help us to love one another as you have commanded us, for Christ's sake and his glory alone. Amen.